Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy the show. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Wednesday is the day I queue up a story from 2010, and today I've got an interesting one for you. It goes after the burning question, which I'm sure has bothered you for your entire time living here in Oregon. Why is legendary Old West lawman Virgil Earp buried in Oregon? Okay, so that probably hasn't bothered you for your entire life, but still it's an interesting question. The retired marshal of Tombstone, Arizona, had only visited Portland once, but his connection to his daughter Nellie Jane Bertrand proved to be a strong one. And this is where he ended up buried. And you know what? I think he probably would have liked it that way. The story was published on September 27th, 2010. Here we go. Portland's Riverview Cemetery is the state's oldest nonprofit cemetery, dating back to 1882. It's full of stones with names on them that will be familiar to any local resident. Corbett, Weinhard, Ladd, legendary suffragist Abigail Scott Duniway, and her brother Harvey Scott, the fiercely anti-suffrage editor of the Portland Oregonian, are also buried there. Oh, and there's also Virgil Earp. Earp, of course, is the brother of Wyatt Earp, the other of the two marshals who famously cleaned up Tombstone, Arizona, in the Battle of the OK Corral. What is Virgil Earp doing buried in Portland, a city he'd been in, so far as we know, only once in his life? That's what Oregon pop historian Ralph Friedman wanted to know after he learned of the lawman's presence there. Here's what he learned from his research. Virgil, born in 1843, got married to a woman named Ellen when he was very young. Still, the couple had time to produce just one child, a girl, Nellie Jane, before the Civil War broke out and Earp went off to fight in the Union Army. During the war, Earp was shot and wounded. A report came back to Ellen that he was dead. Considering herself a widow, she remarried and moved to Oregon in 1864. When Earp was discharged from the army the following year, he found the burden of his domestic obligations had been lifted, shall we say, so he went west and became, with his brother, a legend of frontier peacekeeping. Well, exciting and rewarding as it was, the position of Wild West frontier cop was not a job that a fellow can expect to retire in. Earp himself made it about 15 years before he was forced into retirement, shall we say, by gunfire. In his role as Tombstone's town marshal, Earp caught a bullet in his leg in 1881 at the OK Corral, and the following year he was ambushed by outlaws as he walked past a lighted window. This last incident ended his career in law enforcement as two loads of buckshot tore into him, one ripping a hole in his side and another permanently ruining one of his arms. It is a rare man who's tough enough to soak up two shotgun blasts like that. But apparently, Virgil was up to the challenge. Earp went to convalesce in California. He later moved back to Arizona, and it was there in Prescott, Arizona, that his daughter, Nellie Jane, found him. They started writing to each other frequently. He'd remarried to a woman named Allie Stevenson, whom he had apparently met in California, but she doesn't much come into the Portland story. Then, in 1899, one of Nellie Jane's daughters came down with pneumonia, and Earp came out to be at his granddaughter's bedside. He was there in Portland for 2 weeks, making a big impression on his grandson, George Law, whom historian Friedman actually tracked down and interviewed in 1976, when he was 90 years old. Quote, "A powerful big man," Law told Friedman. "He wasn't fat. He was broad-shouldered. His right arm hung like a rag." 6 years after that, Earp died at the age of 62 while pursuing a gold mining opportunity with Wyatt in Goldfield, Nevada. Allie, Virgil's widow, sent a telegram to Nellie Jane. If she, Virgil's only child, wanted his body, she'd have to come and get it because his brother Wyatt was claiming it. Nellie Jane's son-in-law, Alex Bertrand, immediately went to Nevada and retrieved the casket. Which is why you will find Wyatt Earp buried in the Bertrand family plot at Riverview Cemetery, in a city he'd never lived in and only visited once. But the Oregon roots of his daughter and his grandchildren were strong and deep. and the places Earp had lived, except maybe California, hadn't been particularly kind. He'd been shot at least 3 times, had been through the most unrelentingly awful war in American history, and had died at a fairly young age. After such a wild and restless life, it's a real poetic justice that his bones are resting in a place where he's never had to shoot at anyone, surrounded by family and friends. After all, it's that kind of peace that a good lawman like Virgil Earp fights to bring about. Well, that's it for our show for today. This show is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, a daily RSS feed to catch on your smartphone reader, a Facebook page, a Twitter feed, and a couple other minor components. Photographs and other images that go with today's show are on offbeatoregon.com, where you'll also find full citations to the sources used in writing this story, along with more than 200 other articles written over the last 5 years, all organized by date of publication. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, and was written by Carmen Ficarra. I do Offbeat Oregon for learning and for fun, so I don't sell advertising or ask for donations, but if you feel a need to make a donation anyway, may I suggest that you buy a copy of my book instead? It's called Wicked Portland, The Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town, published by the History Press in 2012. You can order it from the store link on offbeatoregon.com if you'd like, but if you still have a local community bookstore in your town, I hope you'll consider buying it from them instead. It sells for $20. Finally, if you're ever in Corvallis, drop me a line. Maybe we can grab a cup of coffee and talk about history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com. Don't be a stranger, especially don't be a stranger if you have a good idea for one of these columns in the future. Speaking of the future, our next show will be coming your way at around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And until then, go out and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.